Get going then. All right, we're going to go ahead and call to order the Ochre Point Public Improvement District number one to order. We do have a quorum of the board. I'm Michael Jensen with Snow Jensen and Reese. So for our call to order, if everyone on the call could, if you could state your name for the recording and record, we'll start with the board. Matt, your chair, you want to start?
Yep. Matthew Donaldson, chair of the board.
Darrell Anderson, I think we determined I'm secretary of the board.
Think that, yes, if I remember right. David, you're up.
Okay. Sorry, I thought there was one other person. My apologies. David Hutchison, CLA.
All right, that's everyone I show. We have Christy Barker back at the anchor location. Christy, is there anyone there from the public?
No.
Okay. All right, that covers public comment. So, board, we're going to hold the public hearing. So, what we'll do is I'll take a motion to open the public hearing. David will walk through the budget. We'll take any public comment if anyone is on the call. We'll close it and then we will adopt it through the resolution later in the board meeting. So, can I get a motion to open the public hearing?
I motion we open a public hearing.
I'll
Thanks,
second that.
David. Thanks, Matt. All those in favor say aye.
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 All right, that's unanimous. We are now in the public hearing to take public comment relating to the 2025 annual fiscal year budget. So I'm going to stop sharing, let David pull up the budget, and we can walk through it.
Okay, thanks, Michael. So, for the budget, we had a few updates from the tentative budget. Just want to walk through those first really quickly. We added or updated the insurance amounts to $42.75 for both 2024 and 2025. From there, we updated the transfers amounts into the debt service fund to 2.3 million to match what we have in the going out from capital projects fund. And then we also updated these surplus amounts based on the interest calculations that we had. And they were pretty close to what we did have originally, not big changes. And then the other change I have here for we have our interest income noted here of 100,000, but I distinguished between the bond issuance costs and the underwriter's discount here. Before these were lumped in based on each thing, all as bond issuance costs, and I have broken that out to distinguish between that. And then the last change we made. We updated capital outlay for the current year to 125,000 for from our original estimated $1 million, and we allocated that into 2025. So just open up to you guys if there's any questions, if anything you want to look at specifically or discuss.
I think I'm good.
I'm good.
Okay.
Okay, I do not see any other members of the public on. So, with that, board, can I get a motion to close the public hearing?
I'll motion we close a public hearing.
I'll second that motion.
Great. All those in favor say aye.
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 That is unanimous. Let me pull back up the agenda. All right, so now we have the board meeting minutes from our November 26th meeting. Christy sent those around. Have you had a chance to review those? Do I need to put them up? Do they look accurate?
They look accurate. I looked at
Okay.
them.
Can I get a motion then to approve the board meeting minutes?
I motion we approve the board meeting minutes of the November 26 meeting.
I second that motion.
Thanks, Darrell. Thanks, Matt. All those in favor say aye.
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 That is unanimous. All right, let me pull up budget resolution. So in Utah, they make us approve all the budgets through a resolution. So since this is our first one, What we're going to do is we're going to approve the final budget for 2025, but we are also going to adopt the mill levy. Went through the governing document. So PIDs 1, 2, and 3 can do 4 mills. If I remember right, PID 4 does 1 mill. So we're going to approve the mill levy for this budget at the 4 mills. So why I need that is this is the form that gets sent to the state auditor, but also to the state tax commission. And so this is what I need, that in the governing document to show them that we're setting the rate at 4 mills. So what's great about the PID Act is that's all we need to do. Normally we would have to go through truth and taxation, and that's a long process, but with the PIDs, we can just do it this way. So, any questions about the resolution?
No.
No, that sounds right.
Okay. Can I get a motion then to approve Resolution 2024-06, approving the final budget for 2025 and setting the mill levy at 4 mills?
I make a motion that we approve resolution 2024, 2024-06, approving the 2025 budget and setting the mill levy for this PID at 4 mills.
Perfect. Thanks, Daryl.
And I'll second that.
Thanks, Matt. All those in favor say aye.
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 And that is unanimous. All right, so I'm going to quit sharing. Pull out your calendars. Let's look.
I thought we had set something, and we haven't stuck to it, but I thought we'd done like, I'm making this up, but it was like the third Thursday or something like that. We'd set something, but we haven't stuck to it, so
So, yeah, tell me, David, would the third week work for you guys?
I think where this would be like one of the only districts that at that third week we could probably prioritize everything on this district and get financial statements done in advance. And I don't think it would
Okay.
be enough here.
Okay. So, board, let's think then on the third week of the month, what day of the week works and what time? Wednesdays work,
Do you have a
Tuesdays,
preference?
Fridays.
I don't have a preference.
I guess for lack of any other reason to pick any other day, I'd say, let's do Thursdays at 10 o'clock. But if anybody has any idea other than that, I'm completely open.
Okay, Matt, does that work?
Works for me.
Okay, let's do it. That way we can get it on the calendar. If we need to make an adjustment, we will. It is something we have to post. So, and when I talk about the open and public meetings, we'll cover it a little bit. So, all right, third week of the month on Thursdays at 10 a.m. Sound right?
Sounds
Yeah.
good.
Okay, can I get a motion to approve that is our 25 annual meeting schedule?
I'll motion that our 25 annual board meeting schedule be the third Thursday of the month at 10 a.m.
I'll second that.
Great. All those in favor say aye.
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 All right. Last thing, for every year, we have to have the open and public meetings training. So this will count for 2025. We do an affidavit to the outside auditors that we have done the training, and then we can come back to these minutes when they're approved to show that we did do them in the board meeting. So only take me a little bit. So the Open and Public Meetings Act requires that we handle all of the district business in an open and public setting. We obviously need a quorum to do it. There's three board members, so we need at least two of you to conduct any business. Has to be done in front of the public. Obviously, they need to be able to participate, be able to see how the district does their business. So when we post, we have to post an agenda and the notice. On the agenda, we have to list the place, the date, the time. We have to have specificity for the items on the agenda. So we can't just put really generic stuff. use today's as an example. So we couldn't just put a resolution. We have to put that it's the budget resolution, if that makes sense, to kind of give the public the idea of what it is we're going to cover. We have an electronic meetings policy that allows us to conduct our meetings electronically. We do have to have an anchor location. We have to have somebody at the anchor location in case somebody goes or they need special accommodations. We can provide those. On the agendas, we have to show the link so that the public can see the agenda, and then they can also link up through Zoom or Teams so that they can participate. We also have to post an annual meeting schedule, which is what we just did. That way, if someone looks up on the public notice website, they can see when we hold our meetings. That way they can participate. They can go look for the agendas as the time draws near. For the meetings, we have to keep minutes. So we do recordings of all the meetings. Those are required to be posted within 3 days after the meeting. Then we have written minutes. The written minutes are technically the official minutes of the board meeting, and we approve those at a later board meeting once they have been reviewed by the board and you guys see that they're accurate. There is a chance we could go into closed sessions. They're very limited on what we can go into closed for, but they would be, say we were going to do an appraisal. We could go into close, talk about our strategy, our price. That way we don't divulge to others what our price is going to be and get outbid, those things. That also pertains to the development company, so that if we need to talk about strategy with building or something with the development company, that we don't divulge any commercial information where it would be harm to the, you know, to the development, your guys' strategy, your plans, all of those things. We could go into close to cover those, any proprietary information, trade secrets, things like that. If we were to discuss character, competency, and health of a board member, or if we were to have employees at some point, which we can't, but we could go into close to talk about those things. Any criminal misconduct, any investigations, that way, fraud, we could go into close to talk about those. Any litigation, we could talk about strategy, how we were going to go about it, kind of what the issues were. We could go into close for litigation. If we were to have employees, any collective bargaining, you could go into close. Any security measures. So if the district were going to do any cameras or personnel or security plans, we could go into closed session for those as well. Closed sessions, you still have to have minutes. We record those. We would have written minutes. So if, example, we go into a close today, the next board meeting, we would go into close simply to do the minutes. Now, closed meetings stay closed. The only way somebody could ever get access to the minutes or know what was in a closed session is they would have to get a court order in order to get that. Really high bar. Haven't seen that ever be done, but that would be what it would require. Getting back, our notice needs to be 24 hours for a regular board meeting. If we hold public hearings, that's a 7-day notice. So that is pretty much everything I have. Any questions on the open and public meetings training?
No, I think that's clear.
Okay. All right. That's all I show on the agenda. Do you guys have anything you need to bring up? Anything you need us to?
Yeah, I have a couple of things.
Okay.
One is, and I was scrolling back, and I don't know if anybody else on the call was CC'd on this, but there was an email that we got where we needed to do this. I just glanced at it. The signatures for signing checks. I think we needed to get those of us that were going to be authorized to sign checks, their signatures so that they could complete the process of setting up, I guess, the account or something.
Was that with UMB?
Was
that with UMB or was that your separate operational
I don't
account?
Know. That, I'm scrolling back because I'm gonna Matt, Joe, and myself will all be together in an hour and a half, and so I was okay. gonna print that out and get everybody to sign it.
So technically, Daryl, with you being the clerk, you cannot sign checks.
Okay, so the other two need to sign them. Is that what it was?
Yes.
Okay. Good.
So that's part of the separation of duties. Is you can prepare everything. You can keep track of it. You just can't sign. It has to be either Joe or Matt. That way, you know, you can't be the same guy who's tracking everything, writing the check, or yeah, preparing checks, or, but you can't sign because, you know, you could, I guess, in theory, pull some shenanigans. So
no, that makes sense, and that makes it even better. But Matt, did you see that email? Do you know the one I'm referring to? I'm sure.
Yeah, and I thought it was. I mean, let me see if I could find it. I wasn't sure if that was.
Well,
let me see if I could find it.
If
you guys haven't set up a separate operational account.
Yeah, what you would pay signers for everything that, and I. What's that?
So what you guys would pay out of this operational account would be like the insurance or the auditors, something like that. And you're going to get a carve out back once there's enough property taxes to pay those administrative costs. But for the first few years, you're not going to pay it out of there. We're going to pay it out of like UMB and then get you reimbursed until you get the money to do it. So one of the things you'll need to do is also give David access so CLA can help track that stuff for the financials. Or else, Daryl, they'll need to get bank statements from you tracking all of that stuff as well.
Okay.
It might have been. Yeah.
I'll have to keep digging.
Okay. Yeah, let us know. We can help with that.
Here it is. Actually, I found it. So it came. Yeah, it came from UMB. Okay. Kristen Davies at UMB. So I'll read this actually now, make sure I understand, and take those things to today and get them signed by whoever needs to.
Okay. Now with it being at UMB, you can be one of those because that's all through a requisition and payment application. So you could do that because that stuff all gets one through UMB, but then also David and CLA, when they do the financials, they're able to see all of that through the account with UMB. They're tied into that. So you could do that. It's when you set up that separate account. That's the one where you can't be the signer.
Okay. Maybe, well, I'll talk with those guys. Maybe it's better if I just stay off of both of them. That way we don't have to
okay.
try to remember it. But yeah, that's, I found it. So we'll take care of that now.
Okay, perfect.
And then
anything else?
Yeah, just the other one was in reference. I think that we're probably getting ready to where we do need to pay for some infrastructure stuff. Remind me, I think in previous comments you've just told us we just need to get you the invoices or get you the accounting for it, and then you guys will just go ahead and process those payments. Is that right?
Yeah, we can. As soon as we're done, I'll forward you the payment application. So it'll tell you the stuff that either we need or if you want to fill it out, however you want to do it. So like we'll need a W-9, we'll need invoices. You need wiring or payment instructions.
Okay.
Now we can funnel things through you or UMB can just send those checks or wires directly to whoever it is you want to pay. That's probably easier. That way, you know, you're not the middle man who has to do everything. So on that application, it'll show everything that either we need or you need. So you just let us know if you want us to do it, just get us the info. If you want to fill it out, we can submit it. However you want to do it, Daryl, works for us.
Okay. Well, it was Joe that commented on it, and it'd be stuff that he's probably managing. So I'll probably need to get with him and figure out, you know, who and what it is that he's referring to. It might be, paying the well driller to get started. They're starting here. It might be Ensign Engineering. I'm not sure, but he just said we needed to get going on it. So I know we're getting close.
So if you, let's say the well driller, you can't get a W-9 from them, then we're going to have to go through you guys, right? So you would submit the invoice, we would show it, and then we will pay you guys. And then you guys would then, or the district would then cut the check. That would also require a district bank account for you guys to send a check, or I guess a wire to those guys from whatever account, but you would still need a district account to do that.
Okay. So it sounds like we got to get a district account set up at some point. I mean, can we do that at UMB also, or do we need to find somewhere else?
Yeah, that would be, I would say it needs to be local probably. Okay. And just one of the big financial firms, like you can't get some small community credit union. They might not be on the approved state list, but like all the big banks, all the big credit unions are on that approved list that the state treasurer has.
Okay. Well,
and if you have questions, if you have questions, David or I can help with, you know, if they're on that list, but the big ones are all on it.
Okay. Sounds good. Yeah. Send that over and then that'll start to, you know, let us start to orient on what we need to do and what the process is, but I think we'll get going on some of it.
Okay, perfect. I'll do it as soon as we're done.
I will say just that UMB is in the process of acquiring local branches here in well, several states, but they're in the approval process by the federal government. And so once that happens, it'll probably take another year before the transaction completes. So yeah, it's definitely best to just go with one of these other big banks or credit unions.
Okay, we'll do that.
I didn't know that. Good to know, David.
Yeah. That'll make it a little bit easier once districts want to set up PTIF accounts and mm-hmm. want to get it set up through UMB so that they can just transfer things directly.
That would be easier. Yeah, for sure. All right. Sounds good. Thanks, guys. Daryl, let me know if you have anything else.
Sounds good.
Okay. Okay. Thanks.
Do we have to close the meeting?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Thanks. Thanks, Matt.
Yeah.
Thought we did.
Or did we?
I'll make a motion that we close the board meeting.
Thanks, I'll second that motion.
Thanks, Matt. All those in favor say aye.
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 All right. Now we can go. Thanks.